I will read Electric Bastion Land because the rulebook is tiny and the rest of it is stuff for the GM to use, right? Why would you want to simplify your game? Why would you want to simplify your prep? Basically, I did it because I wanted to make it easier for me to show up. But lighter rules was like a solid way to cut my prep time down. Shorter sessions. My sessions run like 2 to 3 hours now. And I feel like we can cram a lot of stuff in and feel satisfied with a conclusion. I can just about complete a pamphlet adventure for Mouse Ritter. It made it easier for me to show up. It made it easier for me to prep. It made me a lot less nervous about showing up to a game.
This is Cockatrice Nuggets with Rich Frazier, serving you up a heaping helping of RPG nuggets straight to your gaming table.
Want to start editing your audio and video but just don't have the time? Try Descript. Descript's an all-in-one audio and video editor that makes editing as easy as using a Word doc. You upload your recordings straight into Descript, or you can record straight into Descript. It instantly transcribes your file into text, and then you can tweak it with the text or using the media clips. Edit out filler words and silent gaps with a single click. You can record your screen and webcam presentations and video messages and edit out mistakes before publishing. Using pro features such as non-destructive multi-track editing, live collaboration, auto-captioning, exports, and much more. Descript is what I use when I edit my podcast. Not that I edit my podcast. Got an affiliate link in the description below. Want to start editing your audio and video but just don't have the time? Try Descript. Descript's an all-in-one audio and video editor that makes editing as easy as using a Word doc. You upload your recordings straight into Descript, or you can record straight into Descript. It instantly transcribes your file into text, and then you can tweak it with the text or using the media clips. Edit out filler words and silent gaps with a single click. You can record your screen and webcam presentations and video messages and edit out mistakes before publishing. Using pro features such as non-destructive multi-track editing, live collaboration, auto-captioning, exports, and much more. Descript is what I use when I edit my podcast. Not that I edit my podcast. Got an affiliate link in the description below. Hey, y'all. How's it going? Things are going good over here. I'm feeling better finally, and I think I'm 100% better finally. It helps that I've got a shorter shift this week, and that allows me to get lots and lots of sleep. Makes me happy, and yeah, I get to record this week, or I get to feel like I want to record this week, I guess. So, what's been going on? We've been playing Witchlight, and that's continuing well. I feel like I haven't played Mouse Ritter in a while, so I don't think I'll talk about that, but we are going through the estate, and it's pretty fun. I enjoy it, and yeah, the estate is like 8 or 10 pamphlet adventures, basically. They're bigger than a pamphlet. They're like digest size threefold, but it's really simple and easy and a lot of fun to improv the stuff on there. I'm having a good time with that, and I'm getting ready to maybe start customizing it a little bit. I know I need to add a few things. I need to update rumor tables and stuff like that. I am pretty excited about doing that. So Oz is going very well. It's a lot of fun to run. We found a district called the Great Library, and it's basically a depth crawl inside of the city. So it's this ruined library district, and a depth crawl, for those of you who don't know, basically you decide to go deeper or go back. And if you go deeper, then you roll a die, add that to the current place you're at, and that's the new place you're at. That's a simplified depth crawl. It was made popular by Gardens of Yin and Stygian Library by Emily Allen, I think her name is. Cave Girl, I'm pretty sure it is. So we're having a really good time with that. It's been 2 sessions in a row that they've gone there. And I'm trying to find a way that works really well to add treasure drops into it. And basically the way I'm doing it is they get a point for every half hour spent and a point for the point total of the location they're at. So if they're location 4... and they spend a half hour, that's 5 points. And those 5 points multiply by 5. And that's the die you would roll on the D100 table. So if you spent 2 hours, which is 4, at the highest spot, which is 16, that would be 1D100 to roll on the D100 table. The only thing I'm having issues with is getting books in there, right? Because they should be finding books. I think I'm going to do some replacement. The same thing with Mouse Herder, right? The rumor tables have been used. They need, in order to continue to use them, I need to replace them. So the treasure table is getting used. In order to keep using that treasure table, I need to start replacing stuff. I don't know really of a good way to do that. I know in Foundry, I can put the table in. And if I do that, then it will be, I don't know if there is a replace option that's easy. I can definitely open the table at that moment and replace it. I'm hoping for something maybe, I wonder if there's a module out there that makes replacing things in a table easier. Yeah, if I did it on World Anvil, it'd be too complicated. Chartopia, I haven't really used, but it seems like it might be a little more complicated. And Tome of Adventure design would probably be just as complicated as anything else. But yeah, the problem is I'll have to open the table and then replace what it was. Of course, I can do the draw without replace. I don't even have to roll on a table, though. Oh, I didn't even think about that. In Foundry, I don't have to roll on a table. I just have a list. And when that item is picked, then interesting. I wonder if you can roll less on a table. Roll 1d25 instead of 1d100 and only get the first 25. Interesting. I will have to think about that and how it feels to roll on a table. I'm not sure how it feels to roll on a table. I imagine it would feel just as exciting as rolling the die, except everything's automated. I don't have to look anything up. I would have to put 100 items in, though. That's not true. Some of them are gold. Yeah, but I'm going to have some time to load that stuff up and prep and play with it for a while. So that's pretty exciting. I am eager to start getting into some of that prep. I was doing some reading I needed to do for prep. Yeah, so I want to talk about simplifying your game. Why would you want to simplify your game? First of all, games are hard to run. They are difficult to set up, difficult to get moving, and difficult to get playing. It can be, if you don't have a lot of time, it can be stressful going into a game unprepared or feeling unprepared. Some games are more complex than other by nature. That's one of the things we'll talk about. And it'll give you more time, I think. I feel it'll make you worry about your game less during the week and give the time that you have prepping more valuable, make the time you have prepping more valuable. Let's see. So I think the first thing, the first easiest thing to simplify your game is to drop out the rules. Just figure out some other rule set, some other simpler rule set, something that everybody is comfortable with, everybody can understand. You don't have to do like I did and jump from 5e to Cairn, or Into the Odd, or even Shadow Dark. You can take lighter steps down, but find something that the rules match the level of complexity you want to deal with during your prep. So adventures, this is the meat of our game after our game system. There are many adventures already out there, pre-made adventures. I feel that can help a lot in simplifying your game using pre-made adventures. Although some people prefer to homebrew. Homebrew is definitely a way to do it, and it's a little more complex, I think, than using a pre-made module, but doing straight homebrew isn't too bad of an option either. Mixing both of them, though, I think is a good spot, right? A pre-made module with your own homebrew mixed in is the sweet spot for me. I like to take a pre-made, read it through, and then start inserting my own ideas into it, inserting the player characters into it and see what's going on, insert other pre-made adventures into it. And that's how I ended up with this campaign that I'm in right now. So when you're adding homebrew elements, you can sometimes run out of ideas or get stuck on similar ideas. And this is where I like to use random elements. Tome of Adventure Design is like one of my favorite books. I used to use it all the time. I haven't been using it lately because I'm not in need of it. I am not completely homebrewing everything right now. And the stuff that I am homebrewing doesn't necessitate the use of Tome of Adventure Design, but it is still a great adventure book. Sandbox toolkit kind of adventures Sandbox toolkit supplements are also really good. There is Filling in the Blanks, 30 Sandbox,
and Sandbox Generator are three I recommend. They all have good points and bad points. If you were only going to get one, I would probably get Filling in the Blanks. If you like the complexity, if you want deep information, I would go with the D30 Sandbox. And if you want a quick, simpler one, I'd go with Sandbox Generator. But like I said, they all have a place on my shelf. So going back to the reason that I'm not using Tome Adventure Design is Toolkit Adventure. And that's what this Oz is by Andrew Kolb. It is a Toolkit Adventure. And basically, it's got a setting in it, it's got the NPCs in it, and then it's got a bunch of tables in the back that can connect all those things together. So I don't need Tome of Adventure Design to help design my adventures. I've got the Oz book that's doing that for me. There's a lot of these toolkit adventures out there. It's my favorite kind of subgenre of adventure. Andrew Kolb did another one called Neverland. If I turn around, I'm sure I've got a bunch on my shelf. A lot of the Mothership ones fall into this vein. It's why I really like Mothership. Into the Weird and Wild and Into the Cessant Citadel are two others that are these setting toolkits. Yeah, and they are very fun to use, and it gets my mind stirring in the right direction. All right, so the next thing that most games have and can be simplified is stat blocks. I like games with simple stat blocks. I like one or two line stat blocks. Now, this isn't impossible to do in more complicated systems like Pathfinder or 5e. Mike Shea just came out with a book recently, Teos Abadia, and somebody else, I can't remember, that's his editor, I think, who generally edits all his stuff. Anyway, it's called Forge of Foes, and this is it's got some really useful information in it. Basically, he takes 5e monsters, breaks them down, and he basically has a chart for easy improvised monsters, and it is literally these one-line monsters that I like so much. I think that something like that goes a long way to helping someone prep for 5e, especially when you're talking about a heavily improvised game where the players, or a heavily sandboxed game either, where you don't know what's going to be coming up, you don't know what's going to be around the corner. I like systems that allow me to improvise creatures a lot better. I find Into the Odds super easy to improvise monsters. It's basically two stats that I really have to worry about, and that is HP and strength. And the way it works in Into the Odd, hit protection and strength are basically how you kill somebody. Something like that, or I think Cypher has a really good system for improvising monsters. The monster comes down to a number, and everything is based off that number. So a monster that's rated at 5 is, you can extrapolate a lot of its abilities off of that. Worlds Without Number and Old School Essentials and some of these older D&D books also have a similar system to where you can go off the monster's hit die and determine a lot of stuff from that, just that hit die alone. And I think the last way to simplify stat blocks is just use bears. Seriously, pull out some bears and call them something different. Pull out some bears and give them a poison attack and call them spiders. Pull out some bears and let them fly, and they are giant mosquitoes. Maybe not giant mosquitoes, giant dragonflies. So I think bears are really easy to use. They're tough enough monster generally that one or two of them will give a first or second level party a good fight, whereas three or four of them will give a, you know, higher level party a good fight. Especially in old school games, bears are right in that sweet spot. I'm not sure exactly where they fall in 5e or Pathfinder or any of the newer stuff, but bears or some other generic stat block is always a good fallback. Locations. Ways to simplify locations. This is, a lot of the stuff is going to sound the same as the adventure stuff. Pre-made locations are really easy to use. Your toughest time you're going to have there is sitting down and reading them. Some of these places can be huge. The book Bard's Gate by Frog God Press it's bigger than most books that I have. It's like a 500-page monster detailing one large Waterdeep-esque city. But finding pre-made towns, and especially like really short, this is the mayor, this is how many people are there, this is the breakdown of population, can allow you to improvise a lot more stuff. D30 Sandbox, again, has some pretty good improvised town stuff in it. Something that helps with locations a lot is encounters, whether this is a forest or a town. The encounter table that you use can bring that town alive or that area of forest alive. A forest with lions, tigers, and bears is going to be different than a forest with giant spiders and edderkops. A town with a butcher and a baker and a candlestick maker is going to be totally different than a town with Thieves Guild and City Watch on your encounter tables. I think that the encounter tables can easily bring a lot of flavor to your city when without having too much on your prep time, adding too much to your prep time. I think encounters can really have a profound effect on your location without adding too much prep time. Fully random towns. Again, I mentioned the D30 sandbox generator. It's got really detailed towns down to buildings. And I really like using that to do towns. It's really got a great town worksheet. And the sandbox worksheet is something that I've copied many times. And I really like using those as templates for either what I'm using online or what I'm writing in one of my books. NPCs. Simplifying NPCs is pretty simple, I think. First of all, again, using pre-made NPCs, these are great. There's a lot of card decks out there with a picture on the front and a description on the back. Those are amazing. Finding simple tools you can use. Three-line NPCs. This is something that John Four invented and talked about. So line one is what they look like. Line two is how to act, what they portray, what they do for a living and personality. And three is how they progress the story, an adventure seed or encounter hook. Using a tool like likes, hates is trying to, making tables for either of these things would be great. On that subject, again, random tables for an improvising GM is really a great tool. Having a good multi-die table that will allow you to, say, throw all of the dice and assemble an NPC from that dice throw is an amazing tool to have. Treasures. Treasure can get complicated, especially if you're tailing it for the PCs. I like to keep treasure simple. Life Flourish does a great thing where he will take an item and he will put a spell on it, and that will be the magic item. So a sword that can cast magic missile once a day, a staff that can do something else, cast polymorph once a day, something like that. Diegetic treasure or rewards are great. Really simple. It can lead to complexity, but if you're ready for it, then it doesn't have to be a house, land, a castle, something that gives the character in-world rewards for completing quests. And again, use random tables here. Random tables are your friend, as you've seen through this whole thing. Random tables will help you a lot for anything when you're stuck trying to think of something. And there are thousands of random tables out there for treasure. Most rule books that I have come across have random treasure in the back. If not, there's a table online for you. Something else that has helped make my game simpler is reaction rolls. At a base, using these for creatures or NPCs that the players come across gives that NPC a unique outlook, not depending on the referee's mood at the time. Sometimes I can feel more forgiving, sometimes I can be more bitchy, and my NPCs can end up reacting that way to the players. But if I use a reaction table, then the reaction is going to depend on the dice and not on me. Now, these things can be used for anything. You can use these for monsters, right? You can use these for locations. You can say, what state is this location in? Is it in a good state, a bad state, a neutral state? And you can throw reaction dice and interpret that as for a location. NPCs, of course. Treasure, you can use it for. Anything that you can rate on a scale from bad to great, reaction dice can be used for. So why would you want to do this? Why would you want to simplify your game? Why would you want to simplify your prep? Basically, I did it because I wanted to make it easier for me to show up. I was having issues with imposter syndrome and nerves, and a lot of that could be tied to the amount of time I spent prepping and what I had to show for that. These things helped me a lot. How are you going to make it easier for you to show up? Find your pain points. Are they what I went over? Is it something that I've talked about? Or is there something else out there that is stressing you out about showing up? Is it, I don't know, the lateness of your party, or your group brings the wrong snacks? It can be anything. Find what it is. Be honest with yourself. Think about that. Out of those pain points, what can you just throw away? What can you just get rid of? If the rules are getting in your way, get rid of the rules. If locations are getting in your way, you can't really get rid of locations, but you can go back. You can get pre-made ones. And what can you change? If you can't drop it, change it. Make it simpler. Make it easier for you to get through. So like I said, I did this. And what did I do? I went for light rules. I really like Mouse Ritter, Into the Odd, anything based on Into the Odd, I really love. I really like 2d6 mixed success. So I tend to gravitate towards these simpler games like that. Also, I don't want to read a 300-page rulebook. Depending on that rulebook, of course, I will read Electric Bastion Land because the rulebook is tiny and the rest of it is stuff for the GM to use, right? But lighter rules was like a solid way to cut my prep time down. Shorter sessions. My sessions run like 2 to 3 hours now. And I feel like we can cram a lot of stuff in and feel satisfied with a conclusion. I can just about complete a pamphlet adventure for Mouse Ritter in 2 to 3 hours. If I'm not pushing, it could stretch into 2. And I would definitely, if it was feeling like a more complex adventure, I could definitely split it in 2 if I needed to. Adventure toolkits. Like I said, I love these things. I love Oz. I love Neverland. I love all these adventure toolkits. Garden of Vienne, Digging Library. Again, these are my favorite type of adventures or settings. The settings that are given to you with a bunch of tables inside and advice on how to customize it to be your own. I also stopped streaming. It's less set up for me. I don't need to do an audio check. I don't need to change the name of my, I don't need to make sure I have a chat client up. I don't need to turn on the second computer and open all the programs. I don't need to do any of this stuff. I never use the recordings. So it's not like I'm losing out on anything really. I did lose some engagement, but honestly, I had a hard time keeping track of chat when I'm running a game, especially because there's rarely chat, so I'm not paying attention to it. It's hidden behind a browser window, and it's just not something I'm focused on during a game. Now, this next one's hard. I found a note taker. I found someone who takes detailed notes. I love this. This helps me so much because I don't have to. I can rely on my memory and trust this person to take notes. Now, finding a good note taker is really hard. It's like finding a good map maker. But once you find them, hang on to them. Invite them to all your games. Unless they suck. If they're a shitty person, don't put up with that. But my note taker's a good person. But on that note, distribute your responsibility. Do you need someone to keep track of initiative for you? Do you need someone to look up rules for you? Do you need someone to keep track of marching order for you? Distribute that stuff out. It's not going to be the end of the world if players find out some DM only information, right? You can be open about all this stuff. Be open about your rules. Don't hold a rule back and say, okay, this is a GM rule, so I'm going to keep track of it. No, put that out there for the players. Hey, so the way this is going to work is every time you do X, I'm going to roll a die and we're going to see what's going to happen, right? Be open about the AC and HP of monsters. It doesn't matter in the long run. If your characters or if your players care about that, then they're going to be doing the math and figuring it out anyway. They're going to say, okay, so a 16 hits, but a 15 doesn't. So that's their armor class. Oh, okay. So that one dropped in 30 hit points. So they've probably all got around 30. And the procedures, the dungeon procedures, the depth crawl procedures, whatever procedures you're using, be open and show the players what you're doing. It's just much easier to remember, for me, as an example, to do a random encounter check if I've got that sitting in the chat and I've told the players about it. There were many times on Saturday where someone was like, hey, did you check for an encounter yet? Hey, did you check for an encounter yet? And that helps me. Even if I say yes, that helps me. Okay, yes, encounters are important. The players are asking about them now. these are the things that I did that simplified my game. It made it easier for me to show up. It made it easier for me to prep. It made me a lot less nervous about showing up to a game. Yeah, let me know what you did or want to do. Let me know what your pain points if I didn't cover them, and I'll see if I can give you a hand. Best way to get a hold of me is through Anchor. There should be a link in the description. I've also all over Discord. Hit me up sometime. And remember, you're not alone. I'll always be here for you. Have a good one.
That's all the nuggets we've got this week. Shoutouts available at slackernerds.com. Want to reach out? Send a voice message using the link in my show notes, the Anchor FM app or website, or email me at cockatrice nuggets@gmail.com. Check out my new streams on youtube.com/jerry247. As always, you can use my blog at slackernerds to get links to my Patreon and all my other socials. Come join my new Discord server. Links in the show notes. This podcast is ranked via iTunes, so leave me a review and some stars there. Share with your friends or shout out from the rooftops. However you want to get the word out is great for me. Thanks for listening.